right, let's go to the book of Numbers tonight. Book of Numbers. I know we said it this morning a couple times, but I'll just let everybody know, these men that came out and worked yesterday, they worked hard. All joking aside, they worked hard yesterday. We moved a lot of old mulch, and they were out there raking and shoveling, and they moved 8 years of mulch, let's put it that way. That's how much was down on the ground, and then put down the new mulch on top of it. So thank you again for all those that came out and helped yesterday. That was a blessing, and it looks good. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 11. We're going to be looking this week and next week at just something that hopefully will be an encouragement to you. And don't be fooled. You probably, if you looked in the bulletin to see what the title of the message is this week, it's called I Quit. But don't let it discourage you. It's not talking about, you know, that reasons why you should quit. It's reasons why you should not quit in there. And so Numbers chapter 11, we're going to read verse 1 through 15 for tonight, and next week we'll move on from there. We'll see how far we get here tonight and what we're looking at, though. Numbers chapter 11, look in verse 1. It says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. He called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? I have conceived all this people, or I'm sorry, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you to speak to our hearts in the next few moments. Help this sermon to be an encouragement to us, Lord. God, we see here the discouragement that was in Moses and the situation, Lord, and we're going to see over time how you worked in him and how you brought him out of this discouragement. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts as well. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. There's a small monument. If you go out to Mount Washington, there's up on that mountain there, there's a small monument that was built that marks a spot there that has some significance where a young lady died. Her and her father decided to go hiking up on Mount Washington one night, and it was during the cold weather. They were given the advice to hire a hiking guide because it's easy to get lost up in that area, but they thought they can do without it. And they got up into this mountain, had a wonderful day hiking, but as the evening drew near, they found themselves lost. They couldn't find their way back to where they had come from. They were taking trails that they didn't know where they were at. It got dark and cold set in, just a deep cold set in that night. Well, they decided to just, they wandered and wandered and wandered. They got discouraged. They got distraught about things until they decided, well, let's just sit down and we'll figure this out in the morning. Well, they sat down. Both of them fell asleep. Well, during the night, the girl that was with her father, she passed away from the cold. She froze to death that night. The next morning, the father got up and found her in this condition that she was in. She was dead, and you know, he went running to try and find some help. Well, he just went just literally a few feet up to the top of the hill from where they were, and right over the top of the hill was a cabin. It was a haven for those that were wandering through the woods. You can go; anybody was allowed to go in there and start the fire and warm up. It was right there, literally within feet of where they were. Where he can see the cabin. It was called Tip Top Cabin. What prevented them from reaching that place of safety? You know, they could have gone just a few more feet. Just a few more feet, and they would have found that safe haven. But they decided, through discouragement, they were tired, they were lost, they were just not knowing what to do, they were just discouraged so much, they just decided for that night, just let's quit and stop here. Where if they would have just kept on going a few more feet, that's all it would have taken. What prevented them from reaching that place of safety? Very simply put, discouragement. You ever been discouraged? You know, I think we asked that a couple weeks ago. We pointed this out in another message. We all get discouraged. Now, here in our text here, one of the greatest men, one of the heroes of the Bible, Moses. And you know, there's certain men that stick out that God uses as an illustration, using an example, a testimony for us to look to. Moses is one of those people. He trusted God. Amen. He was known for his humility, and he was one of those that gave everything to the Lord and followed the Lord, and doing, Lord used him to do miraculous things. Setting the people free out of Egypt, bringing them out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea and water from the rock and leading them through the desert. All these miracles that God used Moses for. But yet we see here in this passage here a time in his life where he was just greatly discouraged to the point where he was asking God to end his life. He was done. He wanted to quit. He was finished. Moses climbed the mountain. He had a mountain in his life, and it was leading God's people to the promised land, bringing them out of Egypt, leading them through the wilderness there, leading God's people. And during that time, he became so discouraged because of the burdens that he had been called upon to bear. And it was too great for him. It was too much for him. As a result, he came to the place here where he just wanted to throw in the towel and quit. You ever been there? I think we all have. At some point or another, we've been to that. Now, it takes quite a bit for some of us. Some of us are hard-headed. Amen? Hard-headedness can be a good quality sometimes, especially when it comes to not quitting, right? For a good reason. But I think sometimes we can say we've all been to that point where we'd had enough, fed up with it, we're done with it, we don't want to put up with it anymore, we just want to quit. And we think that'll solve all the problems. Maybe you're here, you've been there, you're safe. Maybe you're there, you're right there this evening, what we're talking about here. This passage that we see with Moses here, and what we're going to see later on as we go through this whole passage, eventually we're going to read through verse 25, probably next week. But it gives us some insights as to why, first of all, this happened in Moses' life. How did it get this way? How did it get to this point? You know, he didn't just wake up one morning and everybody was complaining and he went to God and said, God, end my life, please. It didn't just happen that quick. This happened over time. And what we're going to see also is that Moses allowed it to happen. You know, a lot of times we get discouraged because of what we do up here. We think about things and we dwell on things and our flesh, it's amazing how it gets to the point where it starts making up things that don't even exist. And we get more discouraged and more discouraged, like a domino effect going downhill there from there. But this passage here can teach us some truths that we need when we fight the battle of discouragement. Okay, let's look and see what the Lord has to say for us here in this passage. The first thing I want us to look at, and we already read the verses, we're not going to reread all of them, but in the first 10 verses there, we see the problems that arose up in Moses' life here that caused him to get to this point. You know, discouragement, the discouragement that Moses faced had its roots, we can see in those verses there, in the burdens that he was trying to bear. That's almost always, when we get discouraged, it's because of a burden or burdens. They add up. You ever had one of those weeks where, man, you were looking forward to a good week and everything was planned out and Monday something goes wrong, Tuesday something else goes wrong. There's, Roger, you go on those trips all the time, you get way out in Pennsylvania and the truck breaks down. That makes it rough, doesn't it? That's a burden. You know, we all deal with burdens, right? You know, these problems add up. But Moses allowed himself to become discouraged because of these burdens. Right in the middle of God doing a great work. God was leading his people to the promised land. God had just brought them miraculously out of Egypt. Freedom from slavery. Wiped out Pharaoh's army right in front of them by parting the Red Sea. I mean, that's stuff you don't just forget tomorrow. That's stuff that sticks with you for a lifetime. But in the middle of all this, Moses allowed himself to become so discouraged, he was asking God to end it. End his life. I quit. I give up. I'm done. Let's look to see what Moses was having to deal with. And what we're going to find is he dealt with the very same thing that we have to deal with. So we have something in common. Look into the first three verses again. It says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. You know, the first problem that Moses had, the first burden that he had in his life, were people. People. Now, I'm not saying that to be a mean thing, but I think we would all agree, if you have a relationship with anyone, problems arise at times, don't they? Even between spouses. You know, don't you wish your marriage never had a single argument? Anybody ever had that? Those of y'all that are married? No. We're human. When you get two people in a relationship, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's friends, whether it's a family relationship of some kind, a church relationship, whenever you get relationships involved, there's going to be problems at times. There's going to be arguments and disappointments and such. People. Moses had a burden of people. Now, I don't think any of us can say we had his burden. He had over 2 million people to be burdened about. That's a huge burden. All right, we'll get to that later. But you notice what the Bible says about the people that he was leading here. They complained. One of the greatest things that Israel was guilty of, besides idolatry, the next thing on the list is probably complaining. They were really good at complaining about things. They were never satisfied. They'd be satisfied for a little bit with what God had given them. Sooner or later, oh, we're getting tired. Like the manna. Lord, Moses, we're getting tired of this manna. Give us some meat to eat. Give us some flesh to eat. And then they get tired of that and start complaining again. This would have been enough to drive anyone over the edge, what Moses was having to deal with. You know, we all, if you have any kind of social life at all, any kind of relationship or fellowship with people, we're all going to run into these kinds of problems at times. Anytime there's a relationship between any two people, there will always be the potential for problems. So what do we do? Do we hide ourselves in a hole and just recluse ourselves from ever having any kind of social activity with anyone? Is that the answer? Oh, of course not. Of course not. I don't know who said this. It's a quote. It says, to live above with saints we love. Oh, won't that be glory? But to love below with saints we know. Well, that's another story. It can be hard sometimes. Issues come up. Problems come up. You know, let me just encourage you here in the problem with dealing with each other, especially when we get discouraged because of a person. There's a three-step, and I'm not trying to promote some kind of promotion here or anything like this. It's a biblical three-step plan to deal with people, especially people that we have problems with, we have issues with. Number one, love them like Jesus loves them. Love them like Jesus loves them. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and look in verse 31 through 35 here. I'm sorry, 34 and 35. John chapter 13, look in verse 34. It says, the new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, look how it says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How are we to love? As Jesus loved them. As Jesus loves them. Number two, forgive them. Forgive them of anything and everything. And that's not if they come up and ask forgiveness. Just forgive them. Leave it in God's hands and leave it alone. Let it go. Forgive them. Matthew chapter 5. Look in Matthew chapter, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4 for this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We've read this in the Bible study tonight, this verse here. Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, what's the next word? Forgiving. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just forgive them and leave it in God's hands there. And then the third thing to do, pray for them. Pray for them. And don't pray that God would send vengeance down upon them, okay? That's not the kind of prayer we're talking about. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that God would bless the issue going on and heal it. Make it well again. Pray for them. Look in Matthew. This one is in the book of Matthew. And this goes to the furthest extreme that we can think about. Look in Matthew chapter 5. And look in verse 44. We'll start in verse 43. Get the context of what Jesus was saying here. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that the person that you have an issue with is your enemy. I would certainly hope it hasn't gotten that far. But even if they are that furthest extreme, what are we commanded to do there? Pray for them. Pray that God would touch hearts. Pray for them every day. Here's this point here in a nutshell. It is impossible to carry a prayer for someone in your heart and hate them at the same time. You can't be right with God and hate people. You can't be that way. It's not possible. So Moses faced a people problem. He had to deal with it. He had to learn how to deal with that burden. He also faced the problem of provision. Back there in our text there, we're not going to read all the verses. We know what was said there. The people started complaining about the manna they had. They wanted something more, something better. We want the meat. You know, back in Egypt, we had cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. And they talked about all the things. They even tried taking the manna they had and baking it every kind of which way they could to try and make it taste better. My guess is they were trying to make it taste like they had back in Egypt. Back there. And it just wasn't enough for them. And they came to Moses complaining about it. You know, and again, you think about this. Moses was leading at this point about 2 million people. And they had nothing to eat but manna. You know, they came up and obviously they said they didn't like this manna anymore. They complained about it. They tried to do it different ways. You know, those of us that have had children, remember when you had, for me, it was Brussels sprouts. My mom loves Brussels sprouts. How many of y'all like Brussels sprouts? Oh, God help you, please. Oh, my goodness. You need to come forward and get saved. That's, no, I'm just, I do not like, but that was her favorite meal, her favorite vegetable to eat there. We come home sometimes. Of course, you know, my parents live down in the basement there, and we live up top, and I can tell, yep, she made Brussels sprouts tonight. You know, oh my, I don't even like the smell of them. But when she would make those things and she'd set them down on the table, I'll have to admit that was the one meal I wrinkled my nose at. And I always got the same, you're going to eat them. Man, it was so hard to put them things down. But we know how that, you know, when we give our kids something, they give us that wrinkled up nose. I don't want that. That's gross. You know, they don't like that. That's what Moses, imagine 200 people looking at you with that face. We're not happy anymore with what we have to eat. We want something more. We want something better. We want something different. You know, sometimes we all face provisional problems. Maybe it's not food. But, you know, especially this day that we live in right now, the economy's not the best. It's not the best that it's been in years. I know that's what the news says, but it's not. A lot of people are having hard times, aren't they? A lot of people are having hard times. Sometimes unexpected tragedies befall us. They take our funds away. Sometimes it's medical bills. Sometimes we lose a job. Sometimes we get cut back. Sometimes the car goes out or something, you know, something major like that. Sometimes I heard one person say there's more month than there is money. Heard that before. But, you know, either way, there's something that we need to be reminded of that we forget. And Moses forgot it too. He forgot one important thing. God did not call Moses to feed the children of Israel. He didn't call him to feed them. He called Moses to lead the children of Israel. The feeding was up to God. He would take care of that. But Moses was upset, and Moses was distraught, and he was discouraged, and he was just ready to throw in the whole towel because he was trying to take care of something that was not his responsibility to take care of. He was just simply to lead them where God told him to lead them. God would take care of everything that they needed to be provided with. It's God's responsibility, even today, to feed his children. And I'm not just talking about putting food on your plate. He's promised us clothes on our back, a roof over our head. Now, there are some qualifications for that. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's just read what it says. Matthew chapter 6. Look in verse 25. We'll start there. We're going to read down through verse 33. Of course, we know verse 33 very well. But look what he says here. Verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, pay attention to these next couple of verses especially. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe God knows all the burdens that you have of what you need? All those provisional needs that you have. Don't you think God's well aware of that? Look at the next verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's the qualification. And his righteousness, and all these things shall what? Be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. Seek the Lord and his righteousness. And you know what? All those provisional things, all those burdens that we burden ourselves with, thinking, I've got to make this happen. I've got to do this. You know what? God's already sitting there saying, listen, I'm already taking care of it. You just need to put me first and let me take care of it. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. Moses had to be reminded of that. You know, we need to be reminded that when he leads us, he also feeds us. When God leads us, whether it's in our families, whether it's as a church, whether it's in our jobs, he leads us in our life and we follow him, we seek him first, like it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He'll take care of us. He'll feed you. He'll take care of all those things that we burden ourselves with each and every day. And we wonder and we get distraught and we wonder, where's this going to come from? How am I going to get this done? Where is this going to... God's sitting there saying, well, listen, I've already promised you. I'll take care of it. You know, it may not be what we want all the time. Israel wanted more meat. They wanted cucumbers, they wanted melons and leeks and onions and everything they used to have and live it up. They needed to learn to just be happy with what God was blessing them with. And he promised them he would take care of it. It may not always be what we want all the time, but it will get us through the wilderness just like the manna did for Israel. You know, they may not have always liked what the Lord gave them, but nowhere in the passages and they're traveling through the wilderness, I don't read anywhere where they started starving to death. You know why? Because God was faithful, and he fed them, and he took care of them like he said he would. Moses had to face the burden of provisional problems. One more problem that we see here that Moses had to face was a personal problem, a personal problem. You think about this. Moses, as a leader, he carried a huge load as a burden. He was leading 2 million people through the wilderness, through this desert, traveling day after day after day, trying to make sure they were fed, trying to keep sure they had water, trying to make sure they were safe. There was a lot involved here. Moses had a big burden to carry. But he allowed himself, I shouldn't say it was a burden as much as a responsibility. He had a huge responsibility that God gave him. But Moses allowed himself, and I use that word purposefully, he allowed himself to become discouraged. We use that word allowed because it is a decision that you make. We read God's word. We don't have to be discouraged, do we? God has given us more than enough reason not to be discouraged. But we're human. This flesh fails. Sometimes it's weak. And we do allow ourselves from time to time to get discouraged. Moses, go and read the verse specifically in verse 10 there. It says, and Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. But look at Moses' reaction. Moses also was displeased. That word displeased there breaks down to mean to be broken into pieces, to be utterly destroyed. He was discouraged. He was beyond discouragement at this point. Moses, you know, in modern day terms, we would say Moses was having a breakdown. He couldn't handle anymore. He was at the end. He could not take any more of this. He was done with it. You know, if we're not careful, the problems that we face in life can produce this same kind of attitude in our hearts. We become displeased. We become to a point where literally we just break down and cannot handle anymore. We fall apart. It happened to Moses. A lot of us say, well, I'm strong in the Lord. You know, I read my Bible. I have my prayer life. I'm faithful in church. You know, this can never happen to me. It happened to Moses. I recall it happened to Elijah. I recall it happened to Jonah. If it can happen to great men of God like that, guess what? I think it can happen to you and me as well. Moses had allowed the problems that he faced to become larger than the God he served. And this was the result. He became so discouraged, he was ready just to end it all. He was asking God to end my life. Take me, Lord. I quit. I'm done. I cannot do it anymore. You know, anytime that we allow that to happen in our lives, you're in danger of becoming just like Moses right here. You're going to break down. You're going to, if you're not careful, you're going to come to a point where you're going to say, I quit. I'm done, Lord. I can't do it anymore. I'm finished. Just read what I have written down here. It says, we need to come to a place where we can remember that every problem, now listen, every problem that we face has the potential to be greater than our ability to handle. And that is a true statement. Every problem that you're going to face this week has the potential to be greater than you, if you let it. And some of them probably are bigger than us. We cannot handle them on our own. That's why we need to remember that He, God, not us, is the one that needs to handle these battles. The ones that need to, we need to put these problems, these issues, whatever it might be, to put them in His hands and leave them there. He wants to take care of them for us. He wants to meet those burdens. He wants to find an answer with us for those issues and solve them, resolve them. But we need to remember that it is Him, not us. He is the one who fights the battles of life. He fights, and honestly, we get to enjoy the victory. But you know what we do a lot of times, like Moses right here, instead of just leaving it in God's hands, we worry about it. You know, we're going to see here, probably not tonight, but next week we're going to see where Moses prayed and he asked God, and basically asked God, God, why? Why is this happening? Why are you doing this to me? Why did you put this in my life? Why have you given me this responsibility? Why, God, why? If you're not careful, you'll get to the problem, to the point with all these problems that we deal with in life, and we'll become so discouraged that we'll start asking God, God, why? What's the point of all this? Why do I have to go through this? And we start getting bitter and getting an attitude with God over it. You know, when David fought Goliath, did David win that battle? He didn't, did he? Who won that battle? God did. No, God used David. But, I mean, you can just picture that little, I mean, he was probably a teenager, young man against a huge giant. Goliath could have just come up to David and just squashed him under his foot if he wanted to. He didn't have to work hard to beat David. But it never was David's battle. It was God's battle. And God's the one that gave the, I believe with all my, I hear people in these science shows saying how, well, you don't realize how fast the stone can fly out. And I understand this. They can go over 200 miles an hour when they throw that stone out of a sling. That would hurt. Yeah, it'd kill somebody, sure. But when you have a little kid against a giant, I believe God took that stone when it left that sling and he guided that right exactly where it needed to go in that giant Goliath's head. And that giant came tumbling down, not because of David's strength, not because of his skill, but because of God. God gave that, and David knew that. Throughout that whole passage, David gives the honor and glory to God. The people wanted to give it to David. But David was humble about it, and he made sure that God got the glory from it because God fought that battle and God won that battle. Folks, we've got to remember that in our daily lives as we face, whether it's people problems or provisional problems or even a personal problem within ourselves where we just can't handle it anymore. We're out to break down and give up. We've got to back up a little bit and realize, listen, these problems, they're God's. He's promised to take care of them. We put so much on ourselves that we don't need to put on ourselves. Because God's already said, I'll take care of it. But no, God, it's my problem. I'll take care. I can handle it, Lord. And we keep saying that. And before we know it, you know, it's like Pilgrim's Progress. You've read that before. There's another book called The Burden Bearer. Wonderful book. But it talks about this man that just, he piles up all his burdens on his back, and he's just heavy and laying down, and he keeps getting lower and lower and lower. He's putting it all on himself when God's sitting there saying, listen, I can take care of it. You know, some of us might be here tonight. We'll continue on here next week. Look to see how Moses talked with the Lord and God's response back to Moses. But maybe there's some of us here tonight. Some of these problems we looked at, you're right there. Maybe you've got some issues going on. You've got problems in your life and you don't know where to go. You're at your end. Maybe you're not quite there yet, but you're discouraged. It doesn't matter if it's a people problem, a provisional problem, or just some kind of personal problem that you need to deal with. God is the answer to every single one of them. He wants to help you with that. But like Moses, you've got to start realizing whose responsibility it is to bear those burdens. God wants to take care of them. Why don't you give them over to him? Why don't you put them in his hands? Ask him to give you wisdom. Now, we shouldn't just sit back and just not do anything. We need to keep praying. Ask God to help us with it. Give us wisdom how to handle different things. Pray about it. But don't let it discourage you. Because that's a downhill slope that leads to no good end. It'll lead you to where Moses is eventually. I quit. God, I quit. I'm done. You might sit here tonight and say, oh, well, I'll never quit. Well, I'm sure Moses said that too. When he was going across on the Red Sea and looking up at those waters, he probably thought to him, man, this is great. God's doing great things in my life. I'll never quit on God. This is awesome. But here he finds himself at some point, he's gotten so discouraged now. He said, I quit. End it, Lord. I'm done. Folks, let's hand our problems over to God. Put them in his hand. And let him start encouraging you. Let him start building you back up. Let us start getting victories in our life because simply of the fact that God's handling it now. He's taking care of it. But don't get discouraged. Don't get sin. Don't quit, especially quitting on God. Don't quit. Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed.